Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
I'm Mark Martin.
And I am Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening on Sunday, September 6th, 2020. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on New Visions Radio, and we're glad you get to tune in every week, and we hope you tune in every week. In fact, we have a Bible series coming up this month. It's hard to believe it's September, isn't it?
Yeah, wow.
It's just amazing how fast the time goes. And the Bible series starts September 28th, and will go through to October 3rd. It's going to be six consecutive nights.
And what time is that?
That will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
So the 28th is what, a Monday?
That's a Monday.
Okay.
And it'll be, so that night, that's a good, I'm glad you mentioned that, Ed. That week we will not have the midweek Bible study at the Prophecies of Hope Church because we'll be having the series every night. And I would have forgotten about that had you not said that. Also, we want to thank Ray Powers for letting us broadcast here each and every week. So tell us a little bit about what takes place here at Prophecies of Hope, Ed. What do we do?
Well, we're a small little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. And as part of our ministry, we have regular church services, and that happens on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Yeah. We have a Bible study that starts at 9:30, which we call Sabbath school, and then at 11 o'clock, we have a worship service.
There you go. Did you mention Wednesday nights?
You did.
Bible study? I did. And as far as if people want to contact us, Rick, how do they do that?
Well, they can email all of us. They can email me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Okay. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
There you go. So, you know, sometimes we get Bible questions in here, and we had a question come in the other week that we started to answer 2 weeks ago. And we're going to continue that today. And it's a pretty controversial topic, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, those things. And I think we're going to pick up after we have a prayer. And where do we say we were starting again?
Hebrews chapter 10.
Oh, Ed's got the answer. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay. Yeah. So if you have a Bible, get your Bible out, get it ready, because we're going to have Bible study. And, you know, if you can follow along in your personal copy of the Bible, it really means a lot. It's always best to study and read from there. Are there any other announcements we need to make before we begin the program? Did I forget something? I feel like that went pretty quick.
You know, I just want to reiterate this series that we're going to put on. Let me talk a little bit about that, because it's something we've done as a ministry for several years now. Since through 2012, we've done it every autumn.
Every year. Yeah.
In the autumn sometime, usually in October. We've moved it back a few weeks, so others might have a chance to attend or tune in live. That's the point I want to make, because most of the listeners that we have here on this radio program are by no means can they make it to a series in Stanton, Virginia.
Right.
So it will be broadcast live on our website, prophecyhope.com. And all you have to do is tune in there, press the big red button at the bottom of the page that says live stream.
Yes. I hope that one day we hope to move that to the top. We're having some technical issues with that.
Right. You know, I think considering the world that we live in right now, there's not a better time to have this series about what the Bible says about the future.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we talked about that just the other day, didn't we, Rick, about the timeliness and the importance of these messages?
We did.
And go
ahead. I just want to say, excuse me, but the issues at hand, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, none of us would have thought that the things the government is asking us to do, and governments around the world are asking their citizens to do, we would have never considered those things.
You're right.
We would have never considered, you know, trying to do things to prevent a worldwide disease or disaster like we have on our hands right now.
Right.
And so no matter which side of the political aisle you're on, that doesn't make any difference. The Bible has some things to say about what's happening in our time right now. In fact, the Bible specifically singles out, I know listeners might be shocked by this, singles out our particular nation, the United States of America. Now, it doesn't say the United States of America in the Bible.
Right.
But it indicates very strongly that this nation is going to be involved in the things that bring about what happens at the end of our world.
Before Jesus, right before Jesus comes.
That's right. And it's crystal clear from the Bible. But the problem is, most people don't have the time or energy. They feel like they don't have the time or the energy to study all these things.
Right.
Well, here are Prophecies of Hope. We're not going to take the place of your individual Bible study. That's nope. for you. But we want to give you a taste of what the Bible really says about what has happened in the past, how God has laid out all these things, and it's crystal clear about these things and the principles for God's government in the future.
Yes, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Rick, that personal Bible study is vital. Don't just believe it because it sounds convincing from the three of us here in this studio or anybody else for that matter. And the other thing, when you said that God has laid it out, you're saying that he's given us the information in the Bible. It doesn't mean that he's destined certain things to occur. That's not what you're saying at all.
No, not in particularly, because right. I think God never takes away our choices.
Right.
Even if we choose to be the worst sinner on earth, God won't take away that choice. Right. You can do that if you want. There's consequences to everything.
Yes, there are. Yeah. So I think, you know, that's the thing, friends. The point that Rick is making is that we feel as a ministry like the times that we're living in are unprecedented in so many ways. There's places, things that have happened in these months that every listener, everybody that is hearing this program right now would admit that a year ago we'd have never thought this would have happened so quickly.
That's right.
And to have such a devastating effect on the world economy.
That's it.
And the amazing thing is people who have studied their Bibles have been expecting things like this to happen for many years. And so if you want to learn more about those things and get yourself started, get your feet wet, so to speak, on studying Bible prophecies, it would be a good time to tune into the series that's coming up at the end of this month, September 28th. So let's to get our study started, I hope you have your Bibles in your hands because we're going to start right in Hebrews chapter 10, but we need to have an opening prayer. And Ed, would you do that for
sure.
us, please?
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for this time we can spend in investigating and studying your word. And in spite of this topic being a sensitive topic, we really want to know what your word says and that we can trust in it and follow it. Father, I just ask that you give us understanding and wisdom and send us the Spirit of truth to guide us as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Ed, in your prayer, you mentioned this being a sensitive topic. For those of you who weren't tuned in 2 weeks ago when we were here in the studio, we had talked about homosexuality in the Bible. This was something that was actually the topic that we called the program, that was the title. And the Bible does speak of these things, and the question came in, what does the Bible have to say about it? Well, we touched on those things, we talked about them, and I think a good place to kind of go back and maybe do a brief review would be maybe in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, okay. just to see. We talked last 2 weeks ago about Sodom and Gomorrah and some of the things that took place there. Rick, do you have a thought? Did you have something you wanted to express there?
Well, I know we want to go to 1 Corinthians 6. Maybe we can go to Colossians chapter 3 also.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Would you want to go there first? Or do
well,
that
we,
now?
We can. I have that up on my
okay,
Bible
Colossians
program here on
chapter
my computer.
3.
But starting in verse 1 in Colossians chapter 3, it really talks about here how, look, if our relationship with Christ is real, let's keep it real and let's not go into the things of the world. That's don't have anything to do with the things
right.
of the world. That's what I get from reading the first, I don't know, five or six verses here in Colossians 3. So let me just start reading. If you then be risen with Christ, and it's really talking about baptism, right? When we
yes.
dedicated our lives to Christ Jesus. So if we come up out of the water, this symbol that shows what's already happened in our hearts, right? So if we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, we're supposed to have been putting all those things of the world behind us.
Whatever that is.
Right. And, you know, specifically, we're talking about sexual immorality here in this particular program today. But it can be anything. It can be anything that the world says is okay and society says is okay today.
It can be lying, right?
And yeah. And, you know, this is a sensitive subject because we're not supposed to get into anybody's face today. In other words, it's almost impossible to preach the word of God just simply as it reads because it's offensive to people's lifestyles.
Right. Yeah, everything is so politically correct.
You know, I don't think we should apologize for what the Word of God says.
No.
If you have a problem with what the Word of God says, take it up with God himself.
Yeah. You used an illustration about that last couple of
weeks. I did.
Ago, yeah.
You know, I've worked the construction trades for all my life. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of time where I was a construction foreman, where I ran a framing crew, and mm-hmm. we used to do... It was heavy-duty construction. It was tough work.
Yeah,
I have a lot of respect for the guys that put together houses and buildings and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I wasn't the boss. I had a boss. And so when the framing guys that worked under me would complain and say, well, why are we doing it this way? And why don't we do it that way? And this way is much easier and all that. I would say, look, I've had these discussions with the boss. And he has this particular way he wants to do it. If you have difficulty with that, just go ahead, take it up with the boss, and you can discuss it with him. So it really took me out of the loop.
Right.
They weren't happy with that because they really wanted to complain all the time.
Yeah.
But God's word is the truth. It doesn't mince words at all.
Right.
So if your lifestyle is not in accordance with God's word, you don't have a problem with me. I'm not the problem. It's someday you're going to have to answer to God for the choices that you make.
Right. And if people don't believe that it's God's word, then they're not going to make choices according to what this says, and they're going to condemn those of us who believe it. But... So did you read everything you wanted to read there?
I didn't. It goes on. It says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So that means we're going to be saved. When Christ comes the second time, we're going to be saved for those who have hidden themselves in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
It says, mortify therefore your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence is what my Bible says.
Wow.
This is the King James Version. Yeah. So does anybody have anything different there?
What does yours say there, Ed?
Evil desire.
Evil desire. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. See what that says? It says, at some point, even those people who God considers holy, they had difficulty in all these areas just like everybody else.
Right. That's right. So the thing is, he gets us to the point to where we won't commit these sins.
That's right.
Now, go ahead.
My Bible uses the word fornication in verse 5.
Yes, mine does too.
Yours King does James. Too. So does yours, Ed, right? Okay.
Okay, so as far as, was there another thought on that verse?
No,
because
just
this is
going to
go right
that,
along
look,
with what you just read.
God calls us to be better than we can be ourselves.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, how is
that
possible?
That be? Yeah.
But the only way is to let Christ lead your life.
Yeah.
Once Christ is leading your life, then you can be taken to a place in your moral and your spiritual life that you couldn't get to on your own. And it's because of the leading of Christ Jesus. And this text makes it clear that we have all been in a place where we shouldn't be.
Yeah. First Corinthians does the same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. But Christ has a way of getting us there, and I don't know how he does it, but he's got the experience to overcome, and he's got God's power. So if he's working in my life, I really don't have any excuse whatsoever.
And let me say this for the listener that is hearing this. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't always want to do what Christ would do.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. Yep.
There have been many times in my life that I've had something or a decision to make or some choice to make, and the choice that I wanted to make was the opposite of what I should do. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't something, this is the thing, and this is where I don't want the listener to get off track thinking, well, here's those Christian people looking down on those of us. No, we're not looking down on anybody. We're saying that we can't overcome either. But there's only one way by which you can, and that's to accept the power that God gives you through his son, Christ Jesus.
It's a process. It's something that doesn't happen at the snap of a finger.
Right. That's right. And unfortunately, some people think that it is. It's like you go under the water to get baptized. You come up and, oh, well, guess what? Now I'm cleansed. I have nothing to worry about. That's when the battle a lot of times begins.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. Mark, you made a great point. It's not, look, we don't have any knowledge or any special anything sitting behind these microphones.
No.
We're like Paul said, he considered himself the chief of sinners.
Yeah.
And if you don't consider yourself the chief of sinners just like Paul, then we've all got problems. Look, nobody is above anybody else except for our brother Christ Jesus. And he's the one that leads every one of us individually. If you hear a pastor or preacher calling you out, remember that that pastor or preacher has faults also.
Right.
And he's had to, if he's right with God, he's had to give his life over to Christ Jesus.
That's
too.
Right. That's exactly right.
So it's all the same for all of us. We're all in the same boat. We all need Jesus just as much as the next person.
Yes. So let's, with the same line of thought, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, and this sounds it down exactly what you just shared from Colossians, Rick. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I don't think I'm going to stop. I want you to see what this whole thing says. Chapter 6, verse 9, Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And it continues, "Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, does this mean, Ed, that because I've been baptized or because I've said, oh, I love Jesus and I believe in Jesus, does this mean that I can continue doing these things because he's got me covered?
Okay, this is one of my favorite illustrations that... because of Adam's sin, we all have experienced sins in our life. Mm. But God sent his son to cleanse us from these sins, not only to forgive us for the sins for the blood of his cross, but to change our characters. God didn't send Jesus Christ to die and cover our sins so we can continue on sinning.
Right.
That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to cover our sins and then to provide a way to help us overcome our sins through Christ living in us.
That's it. So, in other words, it's when he says, "And such were some of you," it means that they have repented of that sin.
Uh-huh.
They've accepted Christ, and he's helping them to overcome any one or maybe a whole host of these things that we see here. So here was the other thing that I wanted to touch on that we did 2 weeks ago, and I just want to make sure that this is sounded down in the mind of the listener. We tend to categorize sin. You know, I tend to look at So, you know, if I steal a pen from the bank, I'll say, well, that's not as bad as committing adultery. Why do we do that? Is stealing breaking a commandment?
Yes.
Yes.
Is adultery is breaking a commandment? If I worship a false god, that's breaking a commandment. If I do these things, if I'm told in the Bible that I can't do any of these things and inherit the kingdom of God, if I'm practicing those things, then that means I have to give it up.
Yes.
Whatever it is. And Paul doesn't enumerate these either here in 1 Corinthians or in Colossians in the order of which one's the worst sin.
No.
Because the point is sin.
That's right.
There's not one thing that the sin of adultery is worse than the sin of stealing.
You know, it's so difficult because in society we are taught such a different way.
Yes.
That someone who would pull the trigger and use a gun to murder somebody
right.
is much worse than somebody who steals a pack of gum from the local grocery store.
It sounds like it's worse in our minds because we consider that such a grave sin, but sin is sin.
And I think what we need to remember about all of this is God really looks at our heart, at the intent of all these things. And the intent of the heart is still the same whether you steal a pack of gum from the grocery store. It's wrong. It's something that's wrong. It's sinful according to God's law. And it holds the same weight.
Yes.
And has the same penalty as any other breaking of God's commandments.
That's right. In fact, I believe it's James that talks about if you've broken one commandment, it's as if you've broken them all.
It's because it's the intent of the heart that God looks at.
Right. So let's take this a little further. We had come to the point in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I believe we were at verse 26. I think that's where we're going to pick up this week from 2 weeks ago. And either one of you brothers want to read that? Ed, you have it in a modern translation.
Yes, it's the modern King James Version. It's in verse 26. It says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries."
What does that mean to you when you read this text?
Well, it seems like a hopeless situation, but I think if we understand what the knowledge of the truth is, it's really the truth of the gospel and how the gospel works. If we choose not to accept Christ and accept Him as our source of power to overcome sin and continue to sin, God doesn't have another only begotten Son to send down. If that sacrifice and that system doesn't meet your standards, isn't good enough for you, there's no other process that will help you overcome sin in your lives.
Yeah. So
there's no plan B.
There's no plan B. That's exactly right. You know, you can accept the salvation of Christ, live according to the biblical standard, the standard that God has laid out for us, and you can have eternal life. Or you can choose to live according to whatever desire you have, and you will suffer eternal death.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked in the past on this program about what happens when we die. Many people think that they're going to burn in hell for eternity if they're bad. But the hell that we understand is a little bit hotter than that because it it consumes, all of sin will be burned up and gone. Correct?
Branch and root.
That's right.
Branch and root.
Branch.
Sorry.
Yeah, branch and root.
Yeah. Root and branch.
There you go.
Yeah. Nothing left that will produce any sin.
Yeah, nothing. So it's very clear in the Bible that sin will be completely wiped away. So the choice is ours. And the choice is ours today. You know, I guess for me, I say this all the time, but, you know, there's no time like the present. If there's something in your life, something that is preventing you from laying down any vice or anything that we're doing that would keep us from the kingdom of God, get on your knees and ask Him to help you overcome it.
Amen.
And don't delay. Do it now. now is the day of salvation, right? Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yep.
And, you know, I think that goes for every individual that's living at any given time.
It doesn't matter what the sin is, what the vice is.
Sure. Doesn't matter. No. No matter. Even if you think it's something very small. Remember, we were saying there's not grades of sin. There's not degrees. So I think that no matter what it is, if there's something in your life, if you look through these verses that we looked at, and we see a list of things, and then we look at the commandments of God, and we see what God expects of us. If we feel like we can't meet that standard, ask Him to come into your life and help you to recognize, what do I need to do to obtain eternal life? Wasn't that something that somebody asked Jesus?
Yes, Nicodemus.
Yeah. Do you remember what the answer was?
To be born again.
To be born again. Isn't that what we're talking about here?
Yes.
Allowing Christ into your life? So, Rick, did you have a thought?
Well, I think these things that we're talking about are borne out at the end of Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay.
In verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." In other words, we need to have faith in God that He created us and He knows what's best for us, right?
Yes.
It says, continuing in there, Hebrews 10:38, "But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition." What is perdition?
Wouldn't that be like a sort of sin?
Yes. "But of them that believe to the saving of the soul." You know, what God wants is for people to have confidence in Him. And it even talks about that in verse 35. "Don't cast away your confidence in God." What we're talking about is really the gospel message, and that is that God is going to be faithful to save us through the indwelling Jesus Christ. If we let Christ into our hearts and minds, God is going to be faithful on His end to complete those things that need to be cleaned up in our character, no matter how difficult they are, no matter what we've done in the past. We can't get to the point, in other words, I can't allow myself to get to the point where I think, well, I've done way too much bad stuff in my life. How could God possibly forgive me?
Yeah.
I think that's the point that God says, well, if you think you're unreachable, how can I possibly reach you?
So go ahead, Ed.
Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ."
Ed, you talked about how the cleaning up of our characters, the doing away with all the worldly things, that's not just a snap your fingers and it's all done type of thing, is it?
No.
It takes time. It takes understanding. It takes a continued putting your faith in God to overcome the things that we struggle with.
In Hebrews 10, you were reading around verses 35 and 38. There's a verse in there that talks about patience. Do you see it?
Yeah, verse 36.
Yeah. Can you read that?
It says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise."
Yeah. You know, Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure."
So these things, you know, we talk about these things. We assume that the listener has some kind of an understanding that there is a God, that He has a Son named Jesus, that Jesus came and died. But let's help people on a practical level. What does this look like for the person who says, "Well, I've heard of God, I've heard of Jesus. How do I get there from here? What do I do? You know, how do I obtain this this relationship they're talking about? How do I get there from here?"
Well, you start simply by talking to God, prayer.
I think we mentioned that before, yeah. Didn't we? So when we pray to God, does it have to be any specific manner? I mean, does it have to be formal and feel all, you know?
It's simply just talking to Him. you know, ask him to reveal whatever you need to know about him, whether it's through his word or talking with people. Tell him the difficulty you're having, the sin you're struggling with. Ask for power to overcome. Mm-hmm. Ask for the presence of Christ in your life. Of course, there takes a certain amount of faith. You have to believe that God is. You have to believe he is willing to do the things that he's promised in his word.
Ed, I'm really glad you went there, because that's exactly what I was thinking. It takes an element of stepping out in faith. You know, I can't see God. I can't touch him. You know, if I look hard enough, I can see evidence that God is at work. Mm-hmm. And if I'm looking for God working, I can see that evidence pretty clear.
Right.
But for somebody that doesn't have the experience of having a relationship with God or with his son, Jesus Christ, how do you get started in faith? And, you know, we were in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter.
That's right.
That's
right,
what everybody calls it, right? Because it recounts all these patriarchs from the Old Testament accounts about how they obeyed God by faith. They didn't all get it right. Even Abraham didn't get it right, but it starts right out with Abraham.
Let's just start in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Can we just start there?
We can, but I want to stop you when it gets to the good part.
Okay. I just think it's good because, look, this thing called faith, I don't know what people think about it. And, you know, having grown up in a Christian home, I had an advantage that some people that have never grown up in any mm-hmm. kind of a belief structure could be listening to this program and say, what is this thing called faith? How do these people get it? Well, one thing I could say is I think everyone has a measure of faith, whether they're a believer or not. I'll give you an example. If I said to you, well, you know, the sun's not going to come up tomorrow. Yeah. Would you have faith that the sun's going to come up tomorrow?
Yeah.
Why?
I think because it's always come up during my lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, we might not see it because of the clouds.
Yeah.
But we know when daybreak comes, the sun has come up, right? So there are certain things that we know are a given. We know that if we live long enough in this world and Jesus doesn't come back, inevitably we're going to die. We know that. Go ahead, Ed.
Let me read one verse to
you,
found in Romans 12:3.
Okay.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but set your mind to be right-minded, even as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
So everyone has a measure of faith is what that's telling
yes.
us. It doesn't necessarily mean that right now that faith is in God, but I've heard the old saying that you've never found an atheist in a foxhole. Right?
You know, I was going to say something about that because we're in the middle of this COVID pandemic.
Right.
And I think everyone is a little apprehensive.
Sure.
We don't know what's going to happen. You know, those of us that are put our faith and trust in God realize that there's not a whole lot that we can do. Mm-hmm. We can obey what the authorities ask us to do within reason.
Right.
We can follow good practices like they're encouraging us to do, washing our hands,
sure.
staying out of crowds, those type of things. But at the same time, there's a lot of people out there that are afraid. That we're seeing things in governments around the world that we've never seen before.
Right.
And all kinds of conspiracy theories are swirling around. What could we possibly put our faith and trust in that rises above all of this stuff that's happening right now? So I think a lot of people are in this mindset. Wow, who do I look to? Where do I go?
Yeah. Who do you trust?
Who do I trust?
Yeah.
And so In this particular program about sin, about homosexuality, how does this issue of faith play into overcoming these things in our lives and
right.
being confident that God's in control of all things that we're afraid about? I think this faith chapter, Hebrews 11, has a lot to say about that.
Yes, and I'm glad you set the stage with Romans
12:3.
Would you read that one more time before we read?
Sure.
I know you can find it very quickly.
It's, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but set your mind to be right-minded, even as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Okay. So we've all been given a measure of faith. Now we need to define faith. Rick, do you have Hebrews 11, 1?
I do. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So what does that mean?
Well, I can hope that Jesus Christ is going to return. And the Bible tells me over and over again, lots and lots, more times than I've been able to count, that he's coming back.
Yeah.
Okay? And things are going to be very different then. Things are going to be new then. There isn't going to be any sin after that. That's really something I hope for, because sin is really the problem, the root of every problem that we have now. So, I don't know, my faith in that, that's really the evidence that I have that it's going to take place.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
But you believe it's going to happen because you've seen things in the Bible that have given enough evidence from things of the past that when it tells you something's going to happen in the future, there's no reason to doubt it.
I do.
So when I look at my life, and I'm struggling with this issue in my life, an issue of sin, whatever it can be, and there is no way I can overcome that. But the Bible says you can. I don't see how, but the Bible says it can. So if I believe God's word, I believe that I can, I have faith that I can without any evidence that I can actually accomplish it.
Right. You know, it's that, the thing is here in this faith chapter, verse 3, Rick, can you read that? 11:3?
It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear.
Okay.
So God made everything we know and see out of nothing. That's basically what it's saying.
And that's hard for the human mind to comprehend.
Yeah.
But when you've studied enough of the Bible to see what it says, we believe it because we've seen things that have happened, that have been foretold, promises that were made, that were kept. God promised early on in the book of Genesis chapter 3 that there would be a seed that would come, and that happened.
That's Christ.
That's Christ. And, of course, the devil tried to stop that from happening over and over, but you can't thwart a prophecy of God. It's going to happen. And so building your faith in the word of God, and, you know, if you don't believe in God, or you don't believe in that there's a creator, if you don't believe in the Bible, then I feel for you, because I get tremendous comfort and hope from reading the scriptures, even during this time of this pandemic, when some people are becoming suicidal. People are scared. They're worried. They don't know who to believe, what to trust. You know, if you've never trusted in the Bible up to this point, and you know you can't trust anybody else, why not open it and read it and ask God for that understanding?
I want to read the next three verses.
Okay.
Because it talks about, well, let me just read the next two, and then the third one is really the one I want to
get
to.
This is Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaks. Well, if you go back to Genesis, you can read the account of Cain and Abel, and how God mentioned that the blood of Abel was crying out from the ground. It wasn't literally crying out from the ground, but in a justice sense, the justice that was done to Abel by Cain, injustice, needed to be rectified in some way.
Right.
So this is saying that Abel offered a faith sacrifice to God. It was doing what God wanted. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And we understand from Scripture that Enoch was taken to heaven.
Right.
Okay. and was not found, it says, because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he was right with God.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In a way that, yeah, it's amazing to me too.
It's comforting to know you're pleasing to God, isn't it?
So these are the first two examples given of people had a lot of faith.
Yeah.
But here's what it says in verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's God. For he, that's you and I, that come to God, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, so you don't find somebody kneeling down in prayer that doesn't believe there's a God.
Right.
They're kneeling down in prayer knowing and understanding and having faith that God exists.
That's
the first little seed of faith that has to take place.
Right, it is.
So like you said before, 15 minutes ago, Ed, you said, step out in faith. Come to God in prayer. That's the first little seed. And if you step out in faith, it says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Let me add one verse to that, Jeremiah 29:13. And it says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Mm. Wow. So unequivocally, the Bible is saying that those who seek after God, step out in faith, God is going to make it so that they can have a relationship with him somehow, some way. It's got to be on his terms.
Right.
But God has promised that that's going to happen. No. So if you're listening to this program, you've never been on your knees before, you've never said a prayer in your entire life. Like, honestly, it's hard for me to fathom that there's a person left in the world if that's the case. But it might be. If you say a prayer to God and reach out in faith, that means that you have some measure of faith that he exists.
Yes.
And he has promised in his scripture, he's going to reach back out to you.
My suggestion when you pray, because let's face it, there are false gods. There's only one true God, according to the Bible, mm-hmm. and there are many false gods. When you pray to God, make sure you're praying to the God of heaven, the Father in heaven.
The creator of the heavens.
The creator of the universe, right? And my suggestion, according to scripture, is to pray in the name of Christ Jesus. And if you pray to the Father through the Son, you're praying to the true God.
The creator God.
And test him and see if he doesn't come into your life and help mm-hmm. you somehow. And I don't think, ask him, make it obvious to me.
Yeah.
Make it clear to me that this is you helping me.
Put out a fleece.
What do you mean when you say put out a fleece, Ed?
There was a story in the Old Testament, I believe it was Gideon, and he was testing God. He wanted to make sure that he was understanding God correctly. So he put out a lamb's fleece, and in one instant he asked it to have dew on it and the ground be dry, and the next instant he asked that the ground be dry, I mean have dew on it and the fleece not have dew. He was testing God.
So where can I? Is that in Kings? I want to give the listeners a place to go that they can look at this Bible account. I'm sorry. Judges. Do we have a chapter? Judges chapter 6.
Verse, yeah, that's it.
Verse 40. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read lips here. We have
some consultants.
We have consultants with us in the studio. Our sister Pamela is over here helping me out. Thank you so much. And, you know, I don't have my computer in front of me. All I have is my Bible, and I'm looking at my smartphone. And if you're looking for texts like this, again, Google search does marvels, doesn't it?
That's my go-to place.
Yeah. And so take a look at that account. If you that was Judges chapter 6, verse 40, I believe you said.
But you're telling the listeners to do the same thing.
Yes. In other words, that's what we have to do. You know, don't believe it because we say it. We have to go to the Bible to find it.
Right.
And so, you know, pray to the one true God. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you clear evidence. And that's what you're saying when you say putting out the fleece.
Right.
In other words, and it's, you don't necessarily have to do it that way. You can just say, Father, just make known to me that you exist. Help me to overcome these fears and anxieties that I'm having. Help me to overcome this sin that I know is going to keep me from being in your kingdom for eternity.
You know, I think one of the things that comes to mind when we address God is he wants to be our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
He wants to be the perfect parent to us. Well, I don't know the listener's experience with their parents, but if you figure on what the perfect parent is like, it means someone who is perfectly balanced with the love that they give you and with the discipline that they give you all the way around. So if you treat God like a loving parent and recognize that God's not going to let you get away with anything, but he wants to help you do the right thing every single time. Mm-hmm. Think about his character. Be honest with him. Be real with him. Just like you would a loving earthly parent.
Right.
Knowing that parent really has your best interest at heart.
Yeah, God's not trying to find fault. He's not looking for ways to punish you. He's looking for ways to save you.
He wants you to be real about who you are.
Yeah, he's given us the way out.
And yeah, that was my point, Ed.
And that can be painful.
Yeah, it is.
When I see things in myself I don't like.
Yeah.
But unless you can acknowledge those things exist, there's no way you're going to be able to overcome them through Christ.
So when we pray to God, you know, a lot of times, Ed, right when we were beginning the program, you said, let's bow our heads. Well, if somebody's driving down the road and they're listening, we don't want them to bow their heads.
No.
Right? So it's not something that you have to do, but it does show reverence, especially if we're alone or we're in a group, we're in a room together, to bow your head. You can pray when you're driving down the highway. You can pray when you're lying on your back, when you're standing, when you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're jogging. It doesn't matter. I find comfort in praying when I'm driving a long way, a lot of windshield time. And prayer doesn't necessarily have to be out loud. We can silently pray to God because he knows our thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows what we're thinking. And so, you know, the thing is, I know to people who, I'm sure that to a lot of people who hear something like this that aren't believers in God, they just, these things sound really strange to them. And I realize that. But if you're in a bad enough predicament in your life, it seems to me that every person at some time or another is going to call on help from someone who they believe is God, whatever that is.
You know, can I talk about that a minute?
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, it says, because the foolish things of God is wiser than men, and the weak thing of God is stronger than men. Verse 27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And God has chosen the base things of the world, which are despised, and things which are not, in order to bring nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, whose God has made to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. These things that we talk about are foolishness to the world.
Yes.
But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world, according to the world's viewpoint.
I think we should give some examples of that.
Okay. Yeah, we've got some time. Let's do that. What comes to your mind, Rick?
Well, to a Christian person, now we're talking about true Christianity here, not just fake or put on, not somebody who says they're a Christian and really doesn't live the principles of Christ Jesus. We're talking about a true Christian. They are selfless. Hmm. In other words, they put other people first. Hmm. When's the last time you were in a traffic jam and most of the people weren't trying to get ahead of everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my wife loves it when I slow down and let people come in. She always says, you're so nice. And I said, well, that's just for today. But, you know, it's hard sometimes if you're in a hurry and you're trying to get through.
Yeah.
You know, but
What does society teach us? It's me first.
Squeeze in as fast as you can. Right.
Yeah, I have to watch out for myself. Yeah. And if I don't watch out for myself, nobody else is going to.
Yeah.
Well, so it's me first. Selfishness is number one.
Yeah.
And I can stomp on anybody else on my way through life. That's fine. I can do that. And I can live the way I want to live. And basically, it doesn't matter. I can choose what I want. But
that's really, a process.
What God is saying is completely opposite of that, isn't he? In other words, you put others first. You put God first in your life, and then come others, and then come myself. Mm. And it's not about seeking your own satisfaction, your own self.
That's very important.
It's about, and that's, I don't know, I'm at a loss for words. That's foolishness to society, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't get anywhere in the world if you put others first. You don't get anywhere. You don't earn enough money that way. You don't have nice things. You know, on and on. That's foolishness to the world.
You know, it's much easier said than done.
Yes, you're right.
Because of the emotions we all have, because of our self-centeredness. But I think that you'll find when you do those things, there's a certain satisfaction that you cannot get from any other way.
Very
knowing
true.
That you're helping somebody else out.
That's very true.
When you, I'm sure most everyone has had the opportunity to give someone a gift that's really from the heart, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, someone you know, or it's even better when it's someone you don't know.
Yeah. Mm.
And it could be just as simple as you walk into the grocery store and there's only one cart sitting there. And you know that lady that walked in the sliding doors after you, she's not going to be able to carry all the groceries that she needs. So
too
giving
bad,
away,
right?
Excuse me?
Too bad, right? You just grab that cart and go on.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the world says, right?
Unfortunate, yeah.
Well, that lady, she can wait till they bring more carts in. You know, that's the attitude that we have in society today. And isn't it interesting that these texts you read were about Christ Jesus? Mm. You know, the people in Christ's day, they looked at him, he just looked like a normal person. He didn't look like the Messiah, whatever that's supposed to look like. And the Pharisees and the Jewish people said, well, he's from Nazareth. Evidently, that was the bad part of town, right?
Yeah. Bad part of the country.
Bad part of the country, right. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Yeah, that
was
the
quote from Scripture.
Right. Yeah.
And yet, Jesus was the one that the Jewish nation had been looking for, and really all of humanity had been looking for 4,000 years since the promise was made to Adam and Eve in the garden. Mm-hmm. So, and then, it's not that Jesus does the worldly thing and become this conquering king, and he sets up his earthly kingdom, and all these wonderful things happen on earth. No, he lays down his life. He says he lays it down himself. Nobody takes his life from him. He actually said that.
Right.
That's foolishness to the world.
You know, the whole point to this study is to help people to get to the point to where whatever that sin is in your life, one of the things that we pointed out was the question that was asked was about homosexuality. That is no worse a sin than adultery, than stealing. They're all on the same level. But as humans, we tend to point and pick and choose and say, well, he's or she is worse than I am because of this or that or the other.
Yeah.
Sin is sin.
That's worldly thinking.
That's
isn't
worldly
it?
Thinking. Yeah. And anything that displeases our Heavenly Father is something that we need to get out of our lives. And, you know, we've got just a few minutes left here. When you read the Bible and you read texts like this and you think, well, the Bible sure is condemnatory. No, you know, in the kingdom of God, you're not going to be able to practice these things. Whatever that sin is, you're not going to be able to do that in that kingdom. So if you were there and you can't live the lifestyle that you want to live that's against his kingdom, are you going to be happy living there?
No.
No. So you can choose. We can lay those things down now. We can allow Christ to come into our hearts and help us out. And again, what does this look like from a practical standpoint? We've got about a minute and a half. What does that look like? How does the person, you said pray. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Is it just pray and go about your life normally, or do we think about the things that we ask for?
Well, I think part of it is getting more information from the Bible by reading the Word.
Yes.
And then trying to apply those things onto our lives. It doesn't do any good to have knowledge and not apply it to your life. So there's a text in the book of James talking about faith. And let me see if I can find it.
Okay, while you find that, Ed, one thing that I would like to suggest, if you're new to Bible reading, you've never read the Bible before, you've never opened it, you're hearing this program for the first time, and even if you've read it many times, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, read the Beatitudes, learn something about what Jesus talks about, what he says. Just read the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those four books of the Bible and see what conclusion you draw, and just see what you think about these things. Do you have your text yet?
I don't, but let me just paraphrase because it's going to take me a little while to find it. Basically, what he's saying, I'll show you my faith by how I live my life.
That's it.
By what I do.
That's it. Yeah. And in other words, faith without works is dead, right? I think that's in James chapter 2. Well, I hate to end this study, but we can pick up again next week and continue with this theme, or we can start something new. But we do need to close with prayer. Rick, would you do that for us, please?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you in the name of Jesus today that you've made great promises to us, promises that we could never conceive of if they weren't written down in your word. Father, I pray that you bless all of us, including the listeners today, that whoever hears this message might be encouraged to step out in faith about the things that just are very difficult for them in their lives. Father, help them to understand that you have power for them to overcome anything. Father, thank you for this power, and it's through the life of Jesus Christ that we receive that. Father, in every way, help us to do your will. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in this week. Hopefully, you'll be back next week right here on New Visions Radio next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.